Well, here we go, and welcome to the Archaeology News. I am, of course, your Scottish host, David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including that vital source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. So let's get going and let's see if I can make it through in one take. We've got excavations in Lebanon yielding 5,000-year-old antiquities. And then let's get technical with the Northumberland Rock Art Mobile Project. A report on archaeological finds revealing indeed Central African history. Then, always good story this one, the earliest Europeans were cannibals and wore mammoth jewellery. Or I should say, I hope, indeed, that it's mammoth ivory jewellery. Anyway, we move then across to the jungles of Vietnam, where we've got 3,000-year-old artefacts on Earth, and then to America, where we dig in Maryland, continuing to yield amazing artefacts. We've got an 8,000-year-old dog tomb in Portugal, and then, beneath the waves of the Black Sea, the ancient coast has been found. There's 7,000 years of human activity in Yorkshire, and there has to always be a story like this one. In the Netherlands, we've got the earliest barbecue. There's new excavations at Borough Hill in England. And then, of course, Otzi. Always a favourite here. This Iceman died after a hasty meal. There's a late Bronze Age fortress uncovered in Cyprus. And then again, another favourite are the Neanderthals. Did they breed with humans? Well, let's find out in this latest story. We end up on a little island off the far west coast of Scotland, St Kilda Archipelago. Something amazing has just turned up. But of course, remember, you can always be listening to this on the Stone Pages Archaeo News app, as well as keeping up with the news as it happens. So let's start off with today's podcast. Excavations at the Freya archaeological site in the old city of Sidon in Lebanon, led by Claude Domitzera from the British Museum, are now in their 13th year. Recently, scientists have unearthed antiquities from 5,000 years ago, including a sacred musical instrument from the Iron Age, the head of a Phoenician figurine, the ring from a Roman period, and a large storage room for wheat, built around 3000 BCE. A 48-metre-long six-room temple dating from the Middle Bronze Age where religious feasts were held was also discovered, along with a huge burial site with a number of burial jars, pottery, and the remains of animal bones. This is just not fair, is it? Very greedy. Can I have some of these, please? Anyway, back to the discoveries. And one of these new discoveries is the first bronze musical instrument discovered at the site dating back to the Phoenician period, around 1000 BCE, which depicts the face of the Egyptian goddess Hathor with cow horns. The instrument, called a sistrum, was used in dances, religious rituals and ceremonies in the worship of Hathor, the goddess of music, love and giving. More storage rooms for wheat and barley attached to the temples were discovered, and this year's excavation revealed for the first time, a large storage room built from stones rather than mud brick, which is far more common. This storage room contained emmer wheat, one of the oldest domesticated varieties, which was found in Syria as early as the Neolithic period. The wheat and 160 kilograms of barley that were also found were completely carbonized, a further sign of the fire that destroyed the building around 2500 to 2400 BCE. We also have 116 burial sites dating back to the first half of the second millennium BCE. They've been excavated so far, and there's more to come. Particularly noteworthy this year was the discovery of a grave containing the remains of at least 8 individuals. The grave also contained a large quantity of pottery, a cylinder seal, faience beads, and animal deposits. What would that mean? Bones. Now, researchers at Newcastle University have developed a website designed to help people discover the rich variety of prehistoric rock art in Northumberland, in northern England. Archaeologists have worked side by side with digital media experts to share information about the famous carved stones, which can be tricky to locate, even with a GPS. Rock art expert and project leader Dr. Aaron Mazel said that some of the stones are quite weathered and it's not obvious until you know where to look. So you could be standing right next to it and just not see it. The new website features clear and simple navigation to anyone who wants to find the rock art panels. Annotated drawings, recorded commentary and photographs can also be downloaded to the mobile phone to enable visitors to see the patterns more easily. The carvings are thought to be made by Neolithic and early Bronze Age people between 3,500 and 6,000 years ago, but the meaning of the symbols remains unknown. If you look at rock art in many other parts of the world, you can identify animals and humans and obtain a sense of exactly what is going on. But this stuff is entirely geometric. It's been here for 6,000 years, and we're still no clearer as to working out exactly what it's all about. I suppose that's what makes it so exciting. The project breathes new life into Stan Beckinsale's extensive archive, which was digitised by Newcastle University as part of the Northumberland Rock Art Project 6 years ago. You can read more about that as well on the Past Horizons website. Now to Africa. In late May, researchers from around the world gathered in Yaoundé, the capital of the West African country of Cameroon, for the International Conference on Rescue Archaeology. At the meeting, archaeologists introduced the new findings from the book Komi Kribi, Rescue Archaeology Along the Chad-Cameroon Oil Pipeline, 1999 to 2004. Archaeologists say the results marked a breakthrough that will begin to rewrite the history of Cameroon as well as the rest of Central Africa. Artifacts from hundreds of archaeological sites from southern Chad to the shores of the Atlantic and Cameroon have turned up a number of unexpected results. According to Professor Scott McEachern, a specialist in African archaeology at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine, 472 archaeological sites have been found along the 1,000-kilometre-long pipeline, some of them dating back 100,000 years. The researchers have urged governments in Central Africa to use this new document to rewrite the region's past. Officials at Cameroon's Ministry of Culture have pledged to act on the recommendations of the archaeologists, including the creation of a National Commission on Cultural Heritage, which will try to work to avoid the destruction of any further archaeological sites during major infrastructure projects. They have also agreed to the construction of a national museum and the strengthening of laws on the conservation of cultural artefacts. Raymond Asumbang, a lecturer at the Department of Archaeology at the University of Yaoundé, said, "We need to know that in civilization, you are only adding your own contribution to the contributions of other people." Very deep. Now, our cannibal story of the month. After studying human remains and artifacts discovered at a shelter site called Burankaya 3 in the Ukraine, scientists say the earliest known modern humans from Southeast Europe wore shell and mammoth jewellery and also practiced cannibalism. The remains date to 32,000 years ago and represent the oldest direct evidence for anatomically modern humans in a well-documented context. The human remains are also the oldest known for our species in Europe to show post-mortem cut marks. Co-author Stéphane Pien, paleozoologist and archaeologist at the National Museum of Natural History in Paris, states that this treatment was not for nutritional purposes. It is not, and he's stressing this quite distinctly, it is not a dietary cannibalism. He and his colleagues believe that the observed treatment of the human body, together with the presence of body ornaments, indicate a mortuary ritual, either a ritual cannibalism or a specific mortuary practice for secondary disposal. Artifacts excavated at the site include 5 mammoth ivory beads, 1 engraved plate made from mammoth ivory, and 35 perforated shells. The remains of pointed bone tools and stone projectiles indicate these early Europeans were active hunters with associated tool and weapon-making industries. Marcel Oot, professor of prehistory at the University of Liège in Belgium, has also excavated at Burankaya 3, and his team found evidence for a 30,000-year-old culture at the same site, indicating that the region was continuously inhabited for thousands of years after the first modern humans arrived. Pien and his team are currently involved in another dig at the same site. Now to Vietnam, where artifacts from 1000 BCE have been unearthed at the mountainous site in the central province of Quang Ngai. Researchers from the local museum said that 10 tombs, including objects from 3,000 years ago, have been found at an archaeological site in the bed of the Ngoc Trong Lake, which has been under excavation now for 2 months. These artefacts are similar to those of the pre-Sahyung culture period. This discovery confirms that such a culture flourished even in these mountainous areas. Previously, artefacts of this culture had been found only in the plains and coastal areas. The Sahyung culture flourished in central and southern Vietnam between 1000 BCE to the late 2nd century CE. It's one of the three ancient cradles of civilization in Vietnam. The Sahyung people are thought to have been predecessors of the Cham, the founders of the Champa kingdom, which flourished in the country from around about 132 CE until, wait for it, the 18th century. Now, America. The archaeological dig at Pig Point in Maryland has continued to yield incredible artifacts, another evidence of human activity since its initial discovery way back in 2009. Finds include evidence of Algonquin shelters, projectile points, ancient pottery, and other artifacts dating back thousands of years further than anyone had previously expected. Dr. Al Luckenbach, county archaeologist and leader of the dig, said that they had excavated to the bedrock in a few locations and found artifacts at almost every level, giving 2 meters of continuous occupation deposits. A projectile point made from Ohio stone has Luckenbach theorizing that the mound-building Hopewell tribe of that area may have traded with the Algonquin tribes that inhabited this site just a few hundred years ago, a relationship that was not previously thought to exist. Now to Portugal, where we have news on, wait for it, an 8,000-year-old man's best friend. Because archaeologists have discovered an unprecedented 8,000-year-old dog tomb, the oldest in southern Europe. It was found in a shell mound near the Portuguese town of Alcácer do Sal. Project co-director Mariana Diniz said that the find held significant importance because previously there had been no signs of ancient canine symbology in southern Europe, in contrast to northern parts of the continent. 8,000 years ago, southern communities domesticated dogs, an animal with not just economic roles, but a symbolic one. The ritual burial of dogs seems to have been done with care and with special significance, she added. Lisbon's National Museum of Archaeology has dispatched a specialist team to the site to consolidate and remove the burial for conservation and future public display. The find was made by archaeologists from Lisbon University and the Spanish University of Cantabria. Now, scientists have found the ancient shores of the Black Sea, currently deep beneath the waves, which they claim were the original shorelines of 7,500 years ago, when the Black Sea was at that time a freshwater lake. The Bulgarian team leader, Professor Petko Dimitrov of the Institute of Oceanology, in Varna, said that they had found the ancient coastline close to the Cape of Emin. The common theory of the creation of the Black Sea says it was a massive deluge through the Straits of the Bosphorus, where the waters of the Mediterranean flooded into the lake. Once the Mediterranean Sea breached the Bosphorus Strait, it irreversibly changed the history of the people in the area, I bet it did, as well as the flora and fauna. In 1997, William Ryan and Walter Pittman published evidence that a massive flooding of the Black Sea occurred around 5600 BCE through the Bosphorus. According to the theory, glacial meltwater had turned the Black and Caspian Seas into vast freshwater lakes, draining into the Aegean Sea before that event. As glaciers retreated, some of the rivers emptying into the Black Sea declined in volume and changed course to drain into the North Sea. With the Bulgarian expedition was Professor William Ryan, who was a geologist at Columbia University. He commented that, as, wait for it, a true scientist, he will reserve doubts about the theory of Professor Petko Dimitrov that this part of the coastline was indeed affected by the flood and that this was indeed an ancient shoreline until the results are finalised. He's still doubtful whether there is a small gap in his theory, though. But he does admit that his observations support the theory. but he's still looking for any evidence which may disprove them. So that's a very good way to test any new hypothesis. Test them to destruction. Good on you there, Professor. Now, back to North Yorkshire, in England, where the findings from 17 years, yes, you heard me right, 17 years of fieldwork study at Nosterfield Quarry near Ripon have been published. In 1992, Tarmac Northern, a construction company, were granted planning permission to extract gravel from the area, and they funded Mike Griffiths and Associates, an archaeological planning consultancy, to carry out the studies. In that time, over 70 hectares have now been examined, covering a range of 7,000 years of human activity. The gravel pits cover an area on the edge of Thornborough Moor, which was a ridge of higher ground flanked by a river on one side and marshland on the other. The marshland has since been drained in the 18th century and it's now heavily farmed. Along this dry ridge, near the quarries, is a stunning triple Neolithic group of henges known as the Thornborough Henges, one of which is purported to be the best preserved of its type in Europe. This triptych is only part of a much wider group of monuments stretching over 35 kilometres across the Yorkshire countryside. Indications have been found of Mesolithic hunting, together with evidence of small camps which may have been associated with henge visitors. As time progressed to the end of the Neolithic period, more burial sites were found, which indicate that a greater significance is becoming attached to these henges. Burials and cremations continue into the Iron Age, and one interesting find from this period is that of four horses, carefully laid out in a ritualistic pattern. Two of the horses would appear to be, from their size, not native to the UK. Moving on through time, very little Roman activity was discovered, apart from a large auburn or kiln, despite the fact that it was a very high status settlement, not that far away, in fact only 2 kilometres away at the village called Well. Archaeological evidence dwindles even further as we progress into the modern era. The modern agricultural practices destroy most of the wetlands and peat, with the exception of a few sinkholes, which reveal pollen and seeds, giving valuable environmental information about the trees and plants that would have populated the edges of the wetland. Well, you can find the full report on the findings titled Holes in the Landscape, 17 Years of Archaeological Investigations at Nosterfield. And in fact, the best way to find it is, of course, yes, you're going to guess what I'm going to say. Get yourself along to pasthorizons.com. Although I must admit, we're actually changing our URL, but you can still find it at pasthorizons.com. And look for the Nosterfield story. Now you'll get some fabulous images and the link to that report. Now, barbecue, anyone? Of course, it's summer. And one of the earliest barbecues is dating back 5,700 BCE. It's been found on the banks of the River Tjonger in the Netherlands. There appears to have been quite a feast, with the meat being provided by the auroch, which was much larger than the modern-day cow. I just make do with a burger myself, actually. Anyway, these beasts were either caught in a trap pit and then clubbed or were shot with bow and arrows. They were then butchered on the spot before the meat was transported back to the settlement in manageable pieces. Not before the legs had been hacked off to get to the marrow bone. You see, I'm going to try and get through this in one go. This was assumed by examining a discarded flint blade that was found near the killing point, and by noting the chop marks that had been made on the bones, indicating that the meat had been carefully separated. The people of the late Mesolithic, they did love their auroch meat, but with the spread of farming, the auroch's natural habitat began to disappear and numbers dwindled. It did hang on vainly, though, until 1627, when the last auroch died in a Polish zoo. Now, the University of Leicester School of Archaeology and Ancient History, together with ULAS, welcomed the public to view their latest fieldwork at an open day on the 26th of June at the Iron Age Hill Fort of Borough Hill in Leicestershire. Not much is known of the site, and Leicester University are starting their second year of a 5-year programme to rectify that. The first year revealed some of the defences, a road, a gateway and a guard chamber. But the most exciting of all was the discovery by a geophysical survey of a large Iron Age settlement outside the Hillfort boundary. This season's excavations will centre around revisiting last year's dig, plus further work around the entrance of the hill fort and the external settlement. Next year we'll see the investigations into the occupied areas within the hill fort. In conjunction with this will be a wider study of how this and other Iron Age and Roman settlements in the area interacted with each other. They'll be using LIDAR survey, magnetometry and good old-fashioned fieldwalking. Dr. Patrick Clay, co-director of Leicester Archaeology Services, is quoted as saying, "This is a great opportunity to examine the development of this remarkable monument. Our understanding of Iron Age sites has been increasing enormously in the last 20 years, but this has mainly been through examining lowland farmsteads and a few larger settlements. This work will help our understanding of the role of so-called hill forts and their relationship with the smaller surrounding settlements." Now, I just got to add in here that I've been working on my own hill forts, believe it or not, down in Wales and up here in Scotland. You've got a special opportunity here, and I'm just going to throw it in. We are part of a group called Rampart Scotland, which is looking at archaeological sites on these, what would be called hill forts, around East Lothian, which is quite near Edinburgh. And, believe it or not, we have just had three spaces made clear. So, here's a chance. If you want to come and work on an Iron Age hill fort, then now's your chance. Get yourself along to the Rampart Scotland website. Just type in Rampart Scotland and you can get in touch with Murray Cook. There are, as I say, three spaces made available. It's only £550 for 10 days. And that includes, wait for it, accommodation and food, as well as yours truly, teaching you all about how to be an archaeologist. Sounds great. So get yourself along there. Now, after that shameless plug, let's go to something more interesting. Over 20 years ago, the mummified body of an iceman named Ötzi was discovered in the ice fields in the Italian Alps. The mummified remains were dated at approximately 3300 BCE and were that of a 40-year-old male. Whilst preliminary investigations were carried out at the time, scientists and anthropologists have had to wait until now to discover more of the full story. When first discovered, only analysis of the lower intestine was carried out, as the stomach was just not detectable. This showed what he'd eaten up to 30 hours before death and revealed a diet of grain and cooked meat. But it was not until a CAT scan was carried out 2 years ago that the stomach was found, having shifted upwards after death to the general location of the lungs. Analysis of the contents showed again grains, but also partially digested meat identified by DNA as ibex, which he had eaten within 2 hours of his death. It was probably a rather hasty meal, as bits of flies and strands of animal hair were also found, suggesting a lack of any nice preparation. Probably, however, the most interesting development was his teeth. Once again, although the mummy has been examined extensively over the last 20 years, no evidence of tooth decay had been found, and although 40 years old, Ötzi had not lost any of his teeth. However, new CT scan technology has revealed a whole range of dental diseases and problems, mainly caused by his high-carb diet, which is an indication of the changes in the Neolithic diet that were occurring at the time. Further dental analysis is being carried out by the University of Zurich in Switzerland. Just goes to show, after 20 years, there are still new things to find. Now, new things to find? Well, what about an entire fortress uncovered in Cyprus? Recent findings suggest that an ancient Cypriot city was well protected from external threats. Gisela Valberg, professor of Aegean prehistory in the Department of Classics at the University of Cincinnati, has been working since 2001 to uncover the Bronze Age city of Bambula. Bambula was an important trading centre between the Middle East, Greece and Egypt, and was situated close to the Troodos Mountains, a source of copper, as well as a river that could have been used to transport these mined materials. Wahlberg's latest research has revealed the remnants of a late Bronze Age fortress from 1500 to 750 BCE that may have functioned as protection for the unfortified urban economic centre situated further inland. She feels it's quite clearly a fortress because of the width and strength of the walls. No house walls from that period would have had these properties, she said, which would have been totally unnecessary And as well as that, it's constructed on a separate plateau, which has views to the north and the mountains and across the river, as well as the Mediterranean to the south, so you can see whoever's approaching in any direction. Within the fortress were the remnants of a staircase leading to a destroyed tower-like structure. According to Valberg, the staircase seems to have been broken in a violent catastrophe characteristic of this period in Cypriot history. Little is known about this period apart from that it was a time of major social upheaval, and many cemeteries contain what some scholars have described as mass burials. Close to the findings is another older site, and upriver exist the remains of a large economic centre called Alassa. The fortress seems to fill a gap in time between this early settlement and the larger economic centre. Now, Neanderthals, don't we just love them? Well, Peter Parnham from Stanford University in California certainly does, and he's taken a closer look at human genes. It was not known whether interbreeding with hominins made any difference to human evolution. The recently published Neanderthal genome offered proof that Homo sapiens did indeed breed with Neanderthals after leaving Africa. At the Royal Society in London, Peter Parnham presented his findings at a talk on human evolution, where he focused on the human leukocyte antigens, or, that's even better, HLAs, a family of about 200 genes essential to the human immune system. And then he compared these to the HLAs of Neanderthals and Denisovians. Findings indicate that non-African humans picked up new alleles, forms of genes, and particular alleles found in Neanderthals and Denisovians are common to modern Europeans and Asians, but are not found in modern Africans. The first modern humans to leave Africa would have been ill-equipped to deal with unfamiliar illnesses, as Neanderthals and Denisovians had lived outside Africa for over 200,000 years prior to meeting Homo sapiens. They would have had plenty of time to develop tolerance to local diseases. Thus, by interbreeding, Homo sapiens would have increased their rates of survival. The rates of alleles shared with other hominins increases the further east across the world, and this could be that these migrating north would have faced fewer diseases than those travelling to the tropics of Southeast Asia. Interesting stuff. And now, finally, located 65 kilometres off the western coast of the Outer Hebrides in Scotland, the St Kilda Archipelago is the remotest part of the British Isles. A team comprising the Royal Commission of Ancient Historical Monuments of Scotland and the National Trust of Scotland is nearing the end of a five-year mapping survey of the islands. Using satellite and digital technology, they are attempting to map a history of human occupation. But it's the findings on one particular island of Borrery that's proving of particular interest. The island group was last inhabited in the 1930s when the last residents were evacuated as life on the island became untenable. Artifacts have been found on the main island of Hirta, which has suggest occupation stretching back to the Bronze Age, and it was thought that visits to the remoter islands like Borrery had been less frequent, mainly to hunt birds and gather wool from the feral sheep. Scary things. But the discovery of ancient settlement mounds has now cast doubt upon this theory by pointing to a more permanent occupation. Trust me, you really wouldn't want to live there. You want to visit, but you don't want to live there. Now, can I remind people about, of course, Stone Pages. Stone Pages app, you'll find it at www.stonepages.com/app. And, of course, Past Horizons, the bestest one out there, www.pasthorizons.com, which will provide you everything from news to tools and projects. And, of course, how can I forget myself? Badger, www.bajr.org. Remember, more can always be found at Stonepages at news.stonepages.com. And I only leaves me to say thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. And we hope you'll return again to us next week. You see, I made it to the end.